Hey everyone, Alan here, creator and host of Script to Screen. I've always been a fan of podcasts, and when I was still in college, I always wanted to host one, but it wasn't that simple back then. Nowadays, the options are endless, but there's only one that can help you and your podcast reach listeners and grow with your vision. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it is 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast. That means you can get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's exactly what I'm doing right now by reading this ad. Anchor has been Script to Screen's home since I first started the podcast, and I couldn't be happier. Not only is it simple for uploading episodes, but fans can also reach out to us by sending voice messages and be featured on the show. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start. Again, that's anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. Send me a link when you're done. I can't wait to hear your podcast. This episode of Script to Screen is powered by Speedy Comics.
You can follow them on Instagram on Speedy Comics ME and on their website, speedycomicsme.com.
Hi guys, I'm Ruth Jung.
Hello, my name is Joseph David Jones.
Hey, this is Kevin Sussman.
Hey, this is Mina Masood.
I'm John Reese Davis, and you're listening to Script to Screen.
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 And welcome to a brand new episode of Script to Screen. You're listening to us on Anchor, our official podcast host, but you're also seeing a little video for all of you guys watching on Facebook and possibly Instagram. We're trying this new Zoom thing. We're trying to get it done. We've got a very interesting episode today. We decided not to go for any news stories, but instead, we're going to do something a la Spotlight, which is essentially, if you guys remember from our older episodes, it's where we focus on one particular topic in mind, and we kind of delve deep into it. So earlier this week, it was the 1 year anniversary of Avengers Endgame, basically being the top highest grossing movie of 2019, actually ever, I think, at this point. So the Solo to My Chewbacca and I decided that we were going to talk about the top five highest grossing films of all time and basically discuss why we think they are this popular and this wonderful. So join me in welcoming the Solo to My Chewbacca, the one and only Han Solo.
Good morning, everyone. How are you, my friend?
I am good, my friend. How are you dealing with all
good,
the
good.
All the fantastic adventures that we're having here in Lebanon?
Oh, so it's a roller coaster ride. It's crazy.
Is it a Hawaiian roller coaster ride or is it not? No, not Lilo and Stitch. Not a Lilo and Stitch from Dome. Okay, all right.
You have too much energy, and I have too.
Okay, the glitching has begun. Basically, Hod is saying I have too much energy, and I have too, and he has too little energy.
But I'm gonna try to, like, you know, I don't know what that was.
Yeah, I don't know what that was either. You kind of glitched in and out, so we're just gonna keep going here and jump right in. Yeah, it says there's a very low connection on your end, Hod. But we're going to jump right in. We're going to start talking about the top five highest grossing movies of all time in today's episode. Starting off essentially with number five here. Are you back, Hod? Are you back? Over. Roger, over.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, because you glitched out for like a minute.
I'm here. I can see you. I can hear you.
Okay. So we're starting off.
Can you see me?
Yes, I can hear you. I can see you. It's taking a little bit of time. Okay. We just got to be a little patient with it. All right. Yeah. So starting off with number five, Avengers Infinity War, which was released in 2018. The global box office of Avengers Infinity War was $2.048 billion. And it is in the number five spot in the top highest grossing movies of all time.
Well, that is very interesting.
It is
It's actually very deserving because it was the first of a two-part adventure, which was Infinity War and Endgame. And people had been waiting for 10 years for this. This was the biggest Avenger of Avenger movies. Mm-hmm. It literally had everyone in it. The first Avenger had the main, I think, five or six characters. This one had the whole new team, Black Panther, Ant-Man, etc. And it was an emotional roller coaster ride, as we were talking before. It was very well made. It was one of the best. It had one of the best cliffhanger endings. And spoiler alert if you haven't seen it. But, you know, like, half of the universe is destroyed because of this.
Yup.
And what a very well-made movie. What a, not just a superhero movie. It's the characters have very interesting arcs. It's one of my top, if you want, Marvel movies. And the Marvel universe has a fleet of fans. And I guess what better way than to watch it and rewatch it? There was this one guy who watched it, I don't know, over 40 something times.
Jesus.
He got tickets to it every day. And he actually got to meet the Russos, who directed the film.
That's insane. Yeah, I remember hearing that story at one point when the film was still in theaters.
Yeah. Yeah. And not to mention one of the greatest villains, I think, out there, which was Thanos, which is a man who perhaps made some sort of sense, who had a very, very interesting arc too, very interesting backstory, very interesting reason for being and doing what he wants to do. So it works on so many levels and so many interesting moments, so many key moments in that movie that we all love.
Yeah, I agree. I do think it's one of the stronger. If we're looking at, you know, Endgame and Infinity War, I am more of an Infinity War fan versus Endgame. You know this. We've basically discussed this earlier on the podcast. We have discussed this in the past. If you hear a high-pitched beeping sound, it's probably because the electricity went out of my house. So we're going to have to ignore that just a little bit while we keep going.
R2-D2.
So yeah, I do believe that Thanos is one of the most iconic and memorable villains of the MCU. I think the decision that the Russos made to make him basically the protagonist of Infinity War was actually a very smart idea, and it made for a much better film because you were truly following Thanos's arc. You were not necessarily following the arc of the Avengers or any of the heroes of the MCU, because we already got to know these people. So this was mostly Thanos's movie and not necessarily the Avengers's movie. So I thought that was a very smart idea. He was very well crafted, very complex, very layered. And yes, I do agree, in a certain moment in the film, Thanos made absolute sense and his plan made absolute sense. But even though it's one of the darkest, I believe one of the darkest Avengers movies, it still had its very funny moments. It still had its moments of humor between Peter Parker and Iron Man. And then also between Star-Lord and Thor, or the Guardians of the Galaxy and Thor. I mentioned those moments in my TED Talk. I believe I talked about those two moments being, you know, the lighthearted moments of the film. But I think that's kind of why it became so successful, is because none of us were expecting it to end the way that it ended. I mean, we feared that that's how it would end. And then the Rousseaus basically fed into those fears and gave us one massive cliffhanger to kind of live on or wait on for the end game, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, it does deserve to be up there at number five. And I really enjoyed that movie. And if I'm not mistaken, at the time, we did not know that the Avengers movies were going to be, if you want, a part one and part two.
Right.
The Rousseaus had not revealed that. They said there are two Avengers movies. I think they even teased that they were separate. But to everyone's surprise, they were not.
Yeah. So moving on to number four on that list, we've got Star Wars, The Force Awakens, which was released in 2015. The global box office was $2.068 billion, just by a matter. I mean, it's literally by a fraction that it is number four in the box office versus number five. And I mean, is there really... is there really a needed explanation as to why this film is at number four? It was literally the return of the legacy characters, the characters that we all fell in love with back in the 80s. It was the return of Luke. It was the return of Leia. But most importantly, it was the return of Han Solo and Chewbacca.
And it was the return of Star Wars.
Yeah.
The last movie had been released, 18 years, 20 years prior to that? I don't exactly remember. But yeah, so you had the old generation, the new generation, ready to see what had happened to mm-hmm. these characters for the past 30 years, what happened to the Resistance, what happened to...
With the Rebel Alliance, essentially.
To the Empire, how it shifted, what happened to them. So it was very interesting, and you got to meet these, you know, pretty cool new characters, and another very interesting villain, I guess. Well,
Kylo Ren,
maybe not villain, but yeah, if you want, like, the baddie in this movie,
yeah.
which is Kylo Ren, which is interesting so far in the two movies that we've seen. They have interesting bad guys, if you want, with mm-hmm. interesting arcs. And although this is a very divisive movie, people calling it, if you want, a replica or copy-paste version of New Hope, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think it was a breath of fresh air. It was Mr. J.J. Abrams doing, you know, mm-hmm. what he does best, with some magnificent action sequences. And you forgot one main appearance we hadn't seen in a long time, which was the Millennium Falcon.
Right. Yes.
For that, like, half second, and then Rey and Finn. And BB-8, you know, escape on that. And it was a very enjoyable movie. It was a fantastic movie. And, well, the fandom, if you want, went to shit after that.
That's what I was going to say. You were basically saying that The Force Awakens was a divisive movie. I think the entire sequel trilogy is a divisive trilogy. On a whole, it's a very divisive trilogy. As much fun as The Force Awakens was, or the sequel trilogy was, and I do enjoy the sequel trilogy, I do believe that there were a lot of missed opportunities as a whole. I think, you know, the idea that Luke had an academy and he was teaching students and all that stuff, like, fans like us would have loved to see that. Fans like us, I find it more intriguing and more interesting to have seen the fall of Kylo Ren than to have simply picked up on, you know, Kylo Ren being Kylo Ren. I would have loved to see more of the Knights of Ren. I would have loved to see more of the stuff that was basically spoken about in the sequel trilogy and not necessarily shown to us. But hey, maybe these are opportunities for a series down the line, with Disney Plus doing things like the Obi-Wan Kenobi show Cassian Andor, the character from Rogue One. Who knows? Maybe at some point we will see a live action telling of The Fall of Kylo Ren. And maybe it'll be with a new cast, and we will have to deal with that. But I think that those were missed opportunities, narratively speaking, for the sequel trilogy. But again, JJ knocked it out of the park. He gave us a very iconic return for Han Solo and Chewbacca with the "Chewie, we're home." You know, like that's, you know, like that line is epic. The way that it's done is very epic. He also gave us very cool new droids. I mean, BB-8 is one hell of a lovable, a lovable droid. So, I mean, yeah, it was the return of Star Wars after what, like a decade?
Maybe a bit longer. Was like 12 years? I don't know. I'm not sure.
Maybe. Because Revenge of the Sith, I believe, was released in 2005. So it was pretty much a decade later.
Okay, so that... Yeah.
So moving on to...
Definitely. Yeah.
So
it's all right. Move on.
Yeah. So moving on to number three. Is 1997's Titanic, directed by James Cameron. The global box office of that film is $2.187 billion. And I mean, again, I'm one of these people who's actually a fan of this film. I believe James Cameron really made a wonderful movie, whether it be visually, the score, the amount of production that went into play. I've seen the making of more than once. It's insane how much work went into making this film. And it also essentially launched the careers of Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio. So it was a big blockbuster. It was a massive blockbuster. And it's still beloved all these years later. I mean, it still plays on national television here or on cable television here in Lebanon at least once or twice a month. Any thoughts on that?
Listen, it is a very, very well-made movie. It's a movie that has aged well, in my opinion. I mean, you look at it and you think it's been made a few years ago, whereas it was released in 97. It's the movie that won, if I'm not mistaken, 11 Academy Awards.
Yep.
It's a very interesting love story. It's a story of survival. It's a story of, you know, hope. It's, you know, a movie made the way we love them. And James Cameron also does a fantastic job at doing these very grandiose, interesting films. He's very tough at what he does, and he's very meticulous at what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And you have stories where Kate Winslet nearly drowned while shooting scenes.
Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet both froze their asses off in that running in the water sequence, because James Cameron, although he did not make the water like freezing cold, it was still pretty cold water. So a lot of their reactions and a lot of the way that they were shivering was real. Like, that was not like faked, you know, like
that was not 100% acting. That was part of what they were feeling. And, you know, it's a classic story of the Titanic, of the ship, definitely retold with a romantic angle.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it's the story of how this massive ship was so beautiful, and the division of classes. It tackles a lot of issues, and then how, you know, as you said, it's the launching of the career of two fantastic actors, which are Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio. Look at where they are today. And also the launch of a beautiful friendship between these two people, because they're very close. They support each other in what they do. Unlike many stories in Hollywood, there is no romantic entanglement between, if you want.
Yeah, they were just very, very close friends.
Very good friends, and that's beautiful. And Titanic is a movie for the ages. And I think it is more universally loved than the previous two movies, I guess, because it's the other, like the MCU movies and Star Wars are, you know, like for a specific, if you want, fandom.
Yep.
Whereas this has a wider audience.
100%. 100%. Let's not forget it also essentially launched, you know, not necessarily launched her career, but it definitely made her a lot more popular. Celine Dion with her song, My Heart Will Go On, you know, again, and the beautiful iconic score by the late James Horner, who did some beautiful, beautiful music for Titanic. That's for sure.
Hey, Hod, did you hear the latest news?
No, man, what news?
Well, you see, recently, Script to Screen has become part of the Speedy Comics family.
Oh my God.
Right? Right?
That's just fantastic.
It is fantastic. Guys, if you don't know what Speedy Comics is, it's actually this really great store at City Walk Dubai.
And you can also find some awesome Funkos and comic books signed by all sorts of amazing people. And why not stop by and have a cup of coffee? That'll be fun.
Indeed. There's also something called The Vault, which, well, it's in the vault, so we can't really talk about it.
No, but it's super duper cool.
It is super duper cool. So yes, Script to Screen is now powered by Speedy Comics.
And don't forget, you can follow Speedy Comics on Instagram on Speedy Comics ME, or you can check out their website on SpeedyComicsME.com.
Hey screeners, this is Ross Marquand from The Walking Dead and Avengers. You're listening to Script to Screen.
Speaking of, you know, you mentioned that James Cameron loves the grandiose spectacle. Nothing is more grandiose of a spectacle than the next film on the list, which is another James Cameron a film, 2009's Avatar, which has the global box office of $2.789 billion. Now, I got to admit, when I first saw the film, I was one of the first, you know, like I was one of these people that absolutely loved it from the get-go. Like, I loved this film. I loved everything about it. Yes, the narrative is recycled. You could call it Pocahontas in space. You could call it whatever you want. The film is still quite a mesmerizing movie to watch. I've seen the extended cut. I absolutely love this film. And I cannot wait for the, you know, three sequels that are coming if it ever ends up happening, you know. But I love what James Cameron did. I mean, it took him like a decade to get this film made. Visually, it's mesmerizing. The technology advances that were made for this film, it is no wonder to me that it is number two in the box office.
Definitely. And it was kind of a reintroduction to 3D, because mm-hmm. the technology mm-hmm. had existed, but not a lot of movies had utilized it, and not movies of this scale, of this, you know, these big movies. And as you said, it has beautiful visuals, it has beautiful stories, perhaps recycled, but why not retell a story a bit differently, with great performances, with, you know, a great world, or worlds, if you want, because we're going to discover more worlds right now. Culture. It's a bit a la Tolkien, I guess, with Lord of the Rings.
The world building.
Creating the language of the Na'vi. The world building is fascinating and very intricate. And funnily enough, as you said, there are three sequels, and one is postponed for one more year due to COVID-19.
Yeah,
I think it was supposed to be released at the end of the year, if I'm not mistaken. So it's moved to next Christmas, 2021.
I actually believe things, it was always, you know, meant to be released in 2021. Actually,
then it's moved to 2022.
Yeah,
it's been pushed forward.
Like
a year. So let's see how that goes. It's a fun action movie with, you know, a nice love story in the background with great performances. And it kind of gave us Zoe Saldana. because yeah, I think before yeah. that she was not very very known, or she had like these big roles, and you had also some interesting like signature people that Cameron works with, like Sigourney Weaver. Mm-hmm. So I can't wait to see what the sequels have to bring.
Well, the sequels, speaking of signature people that work with Cameron, the sequels are bringing Kate Winslet into the mix because she's in the sequels. Yeah. Yeah. And let's not forget the, you know, like I was talking about earlier with the whole like technology, advances in technology to make Avatar. Talk about like the advances in motion capture as well. Like it was because of Avatar that we also got, the Planet of the Apes trilogy. You know, like the way that they were made and all that stuff is due to the advances that were made in Avatar. So, I mean, again, like this is a massively great film. There's a Pandora section now in Disney's Animal Kingdom in Florida. So, again, there's no doubt as to why this is number two in the box office. It was something of a like a brand new experience, like you basically said. This was to be witnessed on a massive screen in 3D. Like that was the only way you could see the movie and really appreciate it for what it was. So yeah.
Yep.
All right, finally, the number one on that list is none other than 2019's Avengers Endgame, with a global box office of $2.790 billion. I remember it very, very clearly while Endgame was rising in the ranks, how every time it toppled one of the top five, there was a post from, you know, Star Wars handing the baton over. There was a post from Avatar handing the baton over. It was kind of like this, like, well done, you know, like, and again, Avengers Endgame is a movie 10 years in the buildup, 22 films in the making, you know, like it was a massive conclusion to what is now known as the Infinity Saga. Whether or not, you know, you believe like me, like the film can't stand on its own, like you kind of have to make this movie part of all the other 22 movies to fully appreciate it for what it is. It is still kind of a phenomenon that, you know, this is going to be the only time we witness something of this scale, I think. I don't believe that the MCU is going to do it to this level ever again. Because it was kind of it was a very messy, like, behind the scenes process, not messy in like a negative way, but just messy as far as scheduling and as far as getting all these people together and the expense and all that stuff. But again, you know, we love it 3000.
We love it 3000 indeed. And I want to add to that, that the arcs of all the characters were taken care of so perfectly, in my opinion. And especially if you want the main two, Avengers, which are Tony and Cap, how if you want, they had reverse arcs, Tony ending up being the selfless hero, taking away, again, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched it, guys, it's been a year, taking his life to save the universe, and Cap, you know, taking a moment back and trying to enjoy his life. And
getting the happy ending we all wanted him to get.
Exactly, with Peggy. And so many touching moments, so many funny moments. And again, connecting all these previous movies. As you said, it's very hard to enjoy this movie properly without having watched the other movies. And I think more than once, because...
Yeah, because, you know, obviously, unless you were in the movie theater with someone like my Solo or the Solo to my Chewbacca sitting next to me, you know, at one point leaning over, blobbering mess, going, do you know who that kid is? And I'm like, and you're like, Iron Man 3. It's the kid from Iron Man 3. Yeah, I mean, exactly. It hit you in the feels, that's for sure. You were like, were gutted.
It destroys you. It destroys you. And, you know, there's hope in it also.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, to see... as you said, these franchises kind of, in terms of box office, handed the baton to Endgame. But Endgame kind of handed the baton to these new superheroes.
Yep.
Who are the future of the MCU. And the future seems interesting with what they are doing next with Strange, Doctor Strange and Multiverse of Madness. Blade is something I'm looking forward to at a much later stage.
Mm-hmm. I'm still waiting to see how they're going to include, how they're going to merge the X-Men into the MCU at some point.
Exactly.
That's bound to happen. I mean, especially if they want the MCU to continue, they're going to need to use the X-Men.
Yep. And there's also the question of Spider-Man, what's going to happen with him? Will he stay on board? Will he not? So a lot of interesting questions in the future. Look, Endgame was, I think, to me, was the perfect finale to all these movies, with the small exception of Hulk, because I do want, because Hulk never gets enough love, I guess.
Yeah,
Hulk,
for sure.
Got his moment. I mean, if you think about it, Hulk has a very massive, important role. Is he brings all these people back. He is the one who snaps and gets, and people forget that. And after that, he's injured and doesn't have his big, big, big moment. And Hulk is the character that came before Iron Man.
Yep.
He was one of those like founding characters. And great job to Mark Ruffalo for you know, giving us this version of Hulk. So to me, it's my favorite, my all-time favorite MCU movie. So, and the score by Alan Silvestri.
Alan Silvestri does a massively beautiful job with the score. All right, right before we jump into our recommendations for this episode, let's try to pick, if we can, from those five films, for each film, let's try to pick a favorite moment from that film. All right?
Sure.
Up for the challenge?
Let's do it.
All right, Infinity War. What's your favorite moment in Infinity War?
Definitely the snap.
The snap,
because
okay.
That's where you realize, okay, fuck. They're screwed.
Yeah.
And this movie has been going on for like 2 hours and 15 or 20 minutes or whatever. And how is this going to end? And then it finishes and you're like, shit.
Yeah.
No. Oh, no, they didn't.
Oh, no, they didn't. My favorite moment would have to be the return of Cap, essentially. That moment we see Cap in the subway. But it's tied very much so. It's tied with later on also a Cap moment with Black Panther essentially saying, somebody get this man a shield. And I love that line. It's such a beautifully executed line. But that moment when Cap shows up at the subway to save Scarlet Witch and you hear the Captain America kind of like the strings coming in, the theme coming in,
Yeah. It's
just a great moment. It's a great moment. Mm. Honorable mention, Thor coming down from the heavens, because that's also freaking epic. But yeah. All right, Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Well, call me Han Solo or whatever, but it's a moment you mentioned. It's when him and Chewbacca go back into the Millennium Falcon and he goes to Chewie or home. And another moment, which is a very sad moment, but which is a very powerful moment in the movie, it's Kylo and Han's moment when Kylo kills his own father.
Yeah, that's my favorite moment in the film. So, sure. It's a very powerful scene. It's a great scene. It's beautifully acted by the both of them. The score is so daunting. Even the way that it's shot, I've used this scene or that shot, the wide shot of that scene in my art of film class a lot to analyze kind of like the lighting and how lighting actually tells us the story in this scene. It's a very powerful moment. Titanic.
I haven't seen Titanic in a while, but I would have to say, you want to go first for that one so that I can
Sure.
actually...
Yeah, that's fine. So mine, there are two. The first one being the moment where Jack and Rose are at the, you know, call me cheesy or hopeless romantic, but like that moment I don't even know what you call that boat, but like the top of the ship, the head of the ship with Jack and Rose, that's a beautiful moment. It's very iconic. But also when the actual Titanic like breaks,
It's so visually powerful with the back end of the Titanic hitting the water, and you're seeing it like collapse on all these people who are in the water already. It's such a scary image, but it's so beautifully shot and beautifully edited by Cameron that it's like beyond iconic.
Mm-mm-mm. I would have to say probably, I'm the king of the world moment is up there somewhere. It's very iconic, and it's one of the most iconic, I think, film lines, because so many people say it and repeat it. But there is this one scene which I don't know why is stuck in my head right now. It's when the orchestra keeps on playing.
Yeah.
After Titanic.
Sinking is the word that you're looking for.
And they're not sinking, they're playing music. So I think that's a very interesting scene that goes on in the movie.
Yeah. All right, Avatar,
I'm probably going to say the first time Jake Sully realizes he can walk again.
Okay.
An Na'vi, because as you remember, he's someone who's paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment he can walk again is very interesting. The moment he realizes he has these capacities, a certain extra power. So I think that's a very, very interesting scene in the movie.
Yeah, for me, it's when Jake and I forget her name, but like Zoe Saldana's character, Neytiri. Yeah, well done. Yeah. It's the first time they meet, and then all the like the Ewa little thingies land on Jake. It's just a beautiful image. The lighting is also that purplish and bluish tone because it's at night, and it's everything's kind of like bioluminescent at that point. It's just a beautiful moment in the film. It's a beautiful scene. And finally, Avengers Endgame.
That's a hard one for me because there's so many epic scenes.
Right.
Probably I would say Cap, you know, with the Thor's hammer, you know?
Yeah, I was gonna say that when the portals open and then Cap says, Avengers assemble. I think that's so iconic.
And Spider-Man meeting Tony again, telling him, Mr. Stark, you know what happened, blah, blah, and recapping what had happened. No, you really have a lot of moments in that movie. And when Tony says, I love you 3000, and when he goes, I am Iron Man, all these, I think it has a lot of very iconic moments. Maybe it's because it's the movie I've watched the most out of the previous four.
Sure.
That's why I noticed the many, many iconic Black Widow sacrifice.
Yeah. I think what we're going to do, I think what would be fair for us this week is for you guys out there, our screeners, to pick any one of those top five films. If you have not seen them, those are going to be our recommendations, I think, for this week.
Pretty much.
Just pick one of these top five highest grossing films if you have not seen it yet, and watch it, because they're brilliant films and they deserve to be up there. On the highest grossing box office list. I think it's great. As usual, let's go ahead and start rounding things up here. I think we lasted a little longer than we expected for this episode, but
that's,
it's all good.
What she said.
If you want to follow me on social media, you can do so at alan.mahana, and you can follow the Solo to My Chewbacca on
had.solo.
You can also follow our sponsors, the amazing guys at Speedy Comics, at Speedy Comics ME. You can also follow us on our official Facebook page, which will have exclusive content coming up shortly as well. Script to Screen Official, which is the same thing for our Instagram account. Our website is also being rebuilt at the moment, which is kind of awesome. Lots of new content coming at you very shortly. We're going to be reposting some of Hod's epic reviewed in 60 Seconds Films as well, because those are a lot of fun. Any last words, Han?
I just want to say thank you to Speedy Comics for, you know, their constant support. It's a brand new relationship, and I love the way it's going. And also, you can check us out, by the way, on any streaming online streaming app like Anchor.
Yeah, for the podcast,
which is our official streaming app. But you can also listen to us on Spotify, on Anrami. Well, any
Google podcasts. We're everywhere. We're all over the place.
We're everywhere. And, you know, any questions you have, anything you want to know, just shoot us a small DM, send us a small voice recording on Anchor. We would love to interact with you.
And as always, we love you, our screeners. Thank you so much for tuning in. Join us again next week for another brand new episode of Script to Screen. We are out of here.
See ya.